Welcome back to another episode of the Balcony Chatter Podcast. I am your host, Andrew McKenney, with my co-host, Tim Taylor.
Just a great, great day.
Jesus. Is it, though? Is it a great, great day?
No, that's one of my stronger phrases in a Scottish accent.
Okay.
No, it's fine.
I figured.
How are you?
I figured you'd be down this week after losing yet again in fantasy hockey.
No, because my boys are putting forth a good effort. You know, we're putting out our all, and yeah, it's just not enough some weeks, but some weeks it really is. And right now we got, you know, 1.2 points on the board here, just 18 minutes into gameplay of week two, and I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Are we down? No.
Emotionally?
So it's no. 12. Emotionally, no. Nothing. 3-6, fifth in the East. I'm feeling all right. I made the playoffs in one of two of my NFL teams. I'm turning around my NBA teams. It's a fantasy. It's going to be a fantasy winter for the boy.
Okay. We still
right,
got plenty
right
of
now
time.
My playoff percentage is 19%. Not even worried.
You like that underdog. You're like, I want to be the underdog.
Oh, man. I feel like, I think to everyone in every other league I'm in, I feel like an automatic win, and I just like surprising people. And I didn't surprise Egan last week, but I'll surprise someone this week.
Who do you got this week? Do you know?
Puck 12.
Ooh.
Puck 12.
Our boy
Billy Thompson.
Yeah. Good luck, dude.
Trying to catch him off guard. Right now I'm up 0.2. It's a dog fight.
That's a good match.
It's a dog fight, and that's the league.
Yeah.
Not everyone can be 7-8-1 or whatever you are.
Yeah, not everyone, but I could be 8-1, though, if we're counting what my record is, which is 8-1, by the way.
That's cool.
I've been getting a lot of trash talk this week from my matchup against HE Double Hockey Sticks, Bert. And I know that you're listening to this right now, and I know that you think you got me. I know you think you're going to beat me, even though I'm beating you by like 40 points right now when we record this, but you're not going to beat me, dude. Sorry. I'm still going to be at the top of this league. I'm going to be number one, and everybody come and try to take it away, but it's not going to happen. But I am getting a little bit concerned about our boy Nick, my brother, Connor Rhea, if you will. Connor McDavid is turning it on. And when you get a guy like Connor McDavid on your fantasy team, he's basically a cheat code when he's like playing well. So that's a little concerning. He's been scoring like 300 plus points every week. But highest points last week in our league was, I hate to admit this, but our only spy in the league. We have a Philly fan in our league. Stinky Philly fan, dude. He's a spy.
He's learning so much.
He's learning so much.
He's getting so much intel.
332 points last week. And I'm not worried. I'm going to play him at some point. I probably already played him. But I'm not worried, dude. He got lucky.
You sound worried. The more you say you're not worried, you sound worried.
He got lucky, dude.
I'll be honest. Just you got lucky.
How could I be worried? I'm 8-1, bro.
How do you get lucky in fantasy hockey? It just works out.
He got
What's
lucky,
the luck?
Dude.
All of his players played 5 games. It wasn't even fair.
Whatever.
Wasn't even fair, dude.
I almost got screwed yesterday. I left one guy on the bench who happened to get 11 points, which hurt, but I put in everyone at the very last second. Like, I'm talking like 5 minutes before game time. And I lucked out.
Wow.
And my opponent, again, Bert, thought that he had me, dude. He was like, I didn't want to tell you about your team because I was worried that you were going to beat me so bad. And I was like, yeah, that checks out. But I got it in there. Now I'm winning. I'm doing good. I know he's shaking in his boots. Like I said, everybody can try, but they're not going to take me down.
Nah, man. We're going to get you.
No.
You can't stay at the top forever. Commissioners never win. And if they do, it's rigged. Don't make us go down that road.
Oh, great. Here we go. Here come the conspiracy theories already.
Oh, yeah. It's fine. It's week 10. Let's spice it up.
Whatever.
Week 10. My cat is currently trying to end the podcast. Keep going. Keep moving. Thank you.
I had an interesting day yesterday.
Yeah, you did.
So,
as interesting as mine, watching two Monday night football games at the same time that were both equally bad, but equally as captivating with underdog winners.
I didn't watch either of those games, but I did see...
You missed out on some great bad games.
Well, I saw that there was a huge upset. That was the only thing I saw, but...
Yeah, I mean, I'd say there's two upsets. Tommy DeVito did it again.
Dude, I love the DeVito stuff. It's
yeah, hilarious. It's great. It's even better in prime time.
Yeah. No, but yesterday, season ticket holder event, Bruins event, meet and greet with some of the players, or most of the players. There were a few that weren't there, but almost all players were there. So it was cool to see all of them, see some other season ticket holders, and kind of they haven't done one of these events for a while because of COVID and because of how everything kind of like last year they were supposed to do one and they had to reschedule, which they never rescheduled. So this was the first time that they've done it in probably, I want to say like three, four years.
Wow.
So it was fun. It was definitely a good time. I made it a point because when you go to these events, if any season ticket holders are listening to this, you already know, but the lines get so ridiculously long that eventually they even cut them off where they're like, we're not letting anyone else in line until, you know, 20 people go through or whatever it is. So you kind of want to go into these events and like, if there's a player or somebody you really want to meet, you kind of want to go there first. And then, you know, everything else is kind of gravy on top of it if you are interested in that stuff. So I was like, I saw the lineups of who was going to be together. And I was like, I got to go see Marchand and coach Jim Montgomery. Because the two of them together, I mean, it's such a cool thing. It's like Marchand's got the C on the jersey and Montgomery's there. Like, it's probably a very rare occurrence that you'll be able to take a photo with both guys. So I thought that was pretty cool. So I had to do that. And I don't know if I've ever seen them do the coaches at these events before. So that was another reason why I was like, this is a really cool thing to be able to, you know, take a photo with the two arguably the most important guys on the team or in the staff and stuff, you know? So, that was really cool. I enjoyed it a lot. I was very happy that the event went off and that we were able to kind of, do that this year. It was at the Omni in the Seaport. So it was like a big ballroom. It was pretty cool. 1920s.
Hell yeah.
Event, I guess. So there was like, just some cool decorations and stuff around the place, and they had it set up pretty nicely, and that was fun. So I'm glad.
Montgomery looked like a henchman in Boardwalk Empire, so that tracks.
I just want it to be known that I am taller than both of them. I don't know, like, just if anybody thought I was shorter than them, it's not true. I'm not, but I'm taller than both. Okay.
Okay.
I just want everyone to know was that. There, so, like, I'm bigger than a professional.
There's been a lot of debate about it. Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to clear the air on this week's episode because, like, for the last couple months, people have been like, is he taller? Is he shorter? So, now everybody knows, and we'll put the debate to rest. Okay.
Very cool. It's nice you're able to do that. That's cool.
So yeah, so that was pretty cool. Like if you had been at that event, who are the players that you think that you'd want to meet the most or go see the most? Is there a let me just read off to you the three ones that I chose between, because they do it in different sections. So mine was Marchand and Montgomery. And then there was one with McAvoy and Pasta together, which you can imagine that line was extremely long. And then the other big one was Ullmark and Swayman together.
I would have done Ullmark and Swayman, and I would have made us all do like the top of the hug part.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So it looks like the three of us are big, tall, scary bears.
that's definitely a good choice. I mean, that line was extremely long. Obviously the McAvoy and Pasta one was crazy too, but I don't know. I like that they put those guys together, but sometimes it's cool when they split the the big names up with some of the other guys, because then the lines kind of get a little shorter, I guess. I don't know. But either way, it was really cool what they did, and I appreciate that they actually did one this year and that we could go to it and have fun.
Hell yeah, man. Glad you can make it out to that.
Yeah.
I think your line I probably would have waited in. They all sound great. Pasta and McAvoy sounds great. I don't know. That's three tough choices there.
You can't really go wrong. I mean, the whole, you know, we love the whole team. So anyone you really meet or just, you know, get to shake their hand, it's pretty cool. Like, just to be like, you watch every game, you watch what they do, and it's cool to kind of have a more, I don't want to say personal connection, because it's like, go take a picture, go say hi, and then leave. But, you know, it's different. It's cool to be able to be like, well, they're just a person, you know? So,
yeah,
I really exactly. like those events a lot.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad you could go.
Yeah.
Glad they're back after all that nasty crap you were referencing before.
COVID. Yeah. It feels like, I mean, it was weird because it feels like we haven't had a game in forever. And we don't have another game until Wednesday against New Jersey. So that's coming up here quick, and I will be at that game. And then at the game in Long Island on Friday as well, Islanders, Bruins.
Long Island.
Looking forward to both of those. If anyone's going to them, reach out. Let us know.
We'll
be around.
Hit up the old account.
Hit up the old DMs.
Dimas.
So yeah, I mean, unfortunately, other than that, there's not a lot of Bruins stuff to talk about this week because we've had, you know, a handful of days off here. Got a couple wins in our last few games, but it's just, I don't know. I hate the long time off. We've talked about this a million times. I don't like having extended time off, but it kind of is what it is, and they'll have to deal with it. They're coming down they're going down to New Jersey with no Zacha, no McAvoy. So there's going to be a lot of holes that guys got to fill and step up and eat some minutes and stuff. So hopefully that can happen and they can pull out a win and get back, you know, continue on in the win column here, because those are two big, big names to be missing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if either of them will be back for the Islanders game, or if that's off the table right now, but you could potentially be two games with neither of those guys, and then come back on Saturday to play the Rangers. So there's some tough games coming up here. Hopefully we can either get some other guys to step up big time, or these guys are just sort of a day-to-day type of situation, and they'll be back sooner than later.
Take that. But if we got to rest them for the road trip, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Season is young.
And we're still in good shape. I mean, I don't think that there's any reason to rush back two guys that are very important to you, potentially making a deep run in the playoffs should you get that far. I think it'd be stupid to rush them back for regular season points and wins, like we've talked about last year, where, you know, we don't care. We just want to make the playoffs, right? Like, we don't care about the wins in the regular season. Nobody should really care about that. Obviously, you want to have good seeding and whatnot, but it's not the end of the world, as we saw with the Panthers last year, where, you know, you're a bottom seed team or a wild card team or whatever it is, and then you make a run all the way to the finals. So anyone that gets in can do damage and can, you know, really make something happen. And hopefully that's us this year. And I don't want to see guys come back just to come back and play in the regular season for pretty much no reason.
Same. Agreed.
Oh, there he is again.
He's back.
But yeah, so like I said, not a lot of stuff to talk about with the Bruins here, just those couple injuries and some other minor things. But I know that there's some Celtics stuff to talk about, and I figured you'd want to get into that. I know that the in-season tournament is now officially over, and the Celtics are not the champions of the in-season tournament. So what are your thoughts?
You know, if I had considered the fact that the Pacers have 10 guys on their team who make $2 million or less, I might have realized how much they're really going to want it. I thought we were flat, man. I thought it was pretty ugly, the Pacers game. I know. I don't know. I'm not. It would have been nice to go further in the in-season tournament and win it, but I don't know. You know, it is what it was. It was fun. I enjoyed the in-season tournament. I don't know how I feel, but and I just want to make fun of them because they're the Lakers. But like, I hope we wouldn't have put a banner up if we won.
So
I think it's pretty lame.
What I saw was they're going to put up a banner that they could add years to instead of putting up a banner every time if they ever win another in-season tournament. But they're going to put up a banner that they could just keep adding years to.
Yeah, I don't think you have to do either. But yeah, I don't know, that's just
I
me.
Agree.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was kind of a weak game. I thought we looked really good in the consolation game that we played on Friday against the Knicks. Handled them by 10. Porzingis back in that game looking great with 21 points on 29 minutes. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of ready for that to be out of the way. I'm ready to see what we're made of on this West Coast trip. Hopefully get to a game and then I don't know.
So let me ask you this.
It was fun.
About...
I think it was a win. I think the whole thing was a win.
Well, let me ask you this about the in-season tournament now that it's over. And obviously, I would think that the NBA found it to be a success. Do you think that do you think the players will be buying into it more next year and be more excited to play in it? Or do you think it's still going to feel like a gimmicky thing and guys that make whatever, you know, more than $2 million a year aren't going to care about it still?
I think it's on the league to revamp the interest amongst the players. We talked about how, you know, guys bought in, it's real money and yada, yada, yada. But everyone had their pitch for, like, what else it could be, like playoff spot and this, that, and the other thing. I just think you have to, you know, I think if it was a success, that means that they made money, and I think that money needs to go to the players again. So maybe you up how much they make. I don't know. I just think you got to be prepared to re-incentivize, and I don't know that – I think we're lucky that they bought in this year, but, like, maybe there's something else going forward that can kind of be a mainstay because I just feel like you're going to have to up the ante from $500,000. And maybe that's a crazy thought, but that's – yeah. I think you're going to have to – re-intrigue them a bit.
Yeah,
it's like, all right, we did this thing and then we were, I don't know, gassed for the playoffs or who knows, you know?
Yeah. I mean, to me, it just felt like just normal games. It didn't feel like it was really, like, to me, when I think of a tournament, I think of, I don't know, something like the bubble where that felt like, although it was a different time and whatnot, it felt like it was something different than what we were used to. Obviously it was different, but like this didn't really feel to me like anything other than games in the regular season with a different court.
Right.
Like it didn't to me, I don't know what I expect or what I thought it should feel like, but it just didn't really feel any different.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I thought the games were great. I think the proof was in the pudding with the games, but yeah, I think there's, I don't know. I think it's just to drive ratings in the regular season and specifically in this time. That's why it's not the mid-season tournament. And it isn't mid-season. It's the beginning of the year so that your average fan kind of tunes in at this time and it's something different.
Yeah.
And I think the games were good. So I think it was a success, but I think it was a success, but I don't know. It's not supposed to change the league, I guess. And like the Lakers won and like LeBron won. And so I'm sure that's better than if the Pacers had won. And I don't know how they felt about that championship. I'm curious what the ratings were like, but the games were good and people talked about it. And so I got to think that they made more money than they thought they would in these months. But what does that mean for going forward? I don't know.
Yeah. To be fair,
I think it should be a playoff spot, but I think you can make what they win more interesting for sure.
For the first year of them doing it, I think that they pulled it off pretty seamlessly. Like, it could have been an absolute nightmare, but I think that it felt pretty normal. Like, it felt like they had it all under control and that it actually made sense. Aside from like having to add up points and all of that, that was a little bit strange, but I don't know.
I kind of like that though, you know.
Yeah, it had the Celtics. It gives them an incentive to play harder in specific games, or it's like you have to win this by a certain amount, and then it kind of makes the game more interesting to see if they're actually going to do that. But then you have teams like complaining, being like, oh, you know, we're down by 25. Why are you still putting up points on us? It's like, because there's an actual reason to do that in this game, as opposed to some nothing game in the middle of like January that we're putting up 35, 45 points on you.
Exactly. I don't know. I think it was a success, I think, but it could grow stale fast. So I think they got to kind of re-incentivize the players and the fans to tune in. Because if next year they're like, remember this amazing thing we did last year, everyone's going to be like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, the weird courts. Yeah, what about it? Do it again, but make it different.
I wonder if they're going to do a different court every year.
I hope so. I think a lot of them could use change. I liked Boston's, but you really only see each of them twice.
Yeah. But some of those two times are wacky, man, for some of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, Indies is brutal. I hated Indies.
I still think that the Pelicans had the worst.
What were they, red?
No, I think it was like purple and lime green. Something like that.
Oh yeah, they kind of looked like were they the ones that kind of looked like they could be Timberwolves colors?
I don't remember, but all I know is that
no, it's purple and red. Oh no, this is the finals court.
Either way, I mean, I think that it was just it's like bright purple and it's like Joker.
Yeah. That's rough.
Yeah, super weird.
That's a brutal one.
But either way, overall in-season tournament, better than I had expected. Unfortunate the Celtics kind of blew that game there, but it is what it is. That the goal stays the same of winning the finals, not the in-season tournament, right? So whatever. Yeah. Better luck next year on that, I guess.
Yeah, whatever. That's kind of how I feel about it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Pretty whatever to me. Would have been cool. Not that much of a heartbreak.
Do you have any comments on the Jaylen Brown ejection the other day?
Weak. Yeah, I thought that was trash.
I feel like a lot of ejections first this career. Year have been.
Yeah, the ref seems softer than they have in years past.
Like across the league.
Yeah, but no, fully. Oh, yeah. Big time. Not just against us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. I'm not excited. The Scott Foster and Chris Paul thing coming to a head this year. It's just like we've been talking about that for so long. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, they act like something had happened in order for this to change so drastically. Like, they acted like some player just went up and rocked some ref in the face, and now they're being as strict as hell about everything. But I don't know what changed to make them decide that it has to be this strict where they're throwing people out left and right. Coaches, players, like, I mean, it seems to be a little bit ridiculous, like, compared to years past, and we've also talked about how the league has obviously gotten softer overall in the last like decade or so. Just in terms of like flopping and all of this other stuff that you didn't necessarily see as much in the 90s and early 2000s. But like, I don't know. It's like a switch got flipped and everything seems to be changing where it's not for the better, in my opinion.
I'm just, yeah, I don't. Maybe there was like an internal memo, or maybe it wasn't even a memo, and it's just like it was just they're changing the way things are, but it's just much different. And it just seems too interpersonal, and like all of these things directly affect game results. They do. ejecting players directly, ejecting players, ejecting coaches directly affects these situations. And I don't know. And to me, it doesn't, I don't know. Maybe I'm numb to it, but I just don't feel like anything seems that egregious. I can't hear what they're saying and stuff, but it just looks like they don't like being disagreed with.
Right.
Or like, or being told that they think that that call was trash. And that's just really weak.
Yeah, I mean, if it's something, it would have to be like really bad for them to have to throw someone out. But apparently, like you're saying, it's they're really quick to do it this year, and I just don't get it.
Yeah, me neither. But I think it's diluting the game, and it's just becoming too much of a conversation. So I think it needs to be addressed, but I don't see that happening either. It doesn't feel like the referees got together and we're just like, we're going to be sticklers. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. So what with Porzingis back now, obviously that's a huge plus for us to get him back. How do you feel about, you know, how we're playing and our upcoming schedule? And, you know, should we be winning a handful of these next few games, or are we kind of, we have a tough schedule coming up where, you know, having him back obviously is going to be very helpful in that sense. But how do you feel now, more confident with him being back, or what's up?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I do think it's almost problematic. I think we need him more than I was kind of hoping that we would have. But I do think he's, you know, we're kind of screwed without him. Especially because of, you know, we still don't have that big. I guess we're expected to be active in the trade market to beef up the bench, which we need to do badly. I just think a lot of this bench isn't it. I thought we were pretty deep at wing, but a lot of these guys can't go. Like, you know, I love Delano, but I didn't expect Banton to be getting these minutes. You know, I thought there was like kind of like, I thought Lamar Stevens and O'Shea Brissett and like, yeah, they're getting some minutes, but I don't think they're what we thought. I don't know. We just got to be deeper. I think we need to try to go and find expiring contracts or whatever the case may be, whatever we can get to be okay if we don't have Porzingis. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think this team being Porzingis or bust is no better off than it was when it was Rob or bust, you know?
Right.
It doesn't matter that player's got like a higher ceiling or brings more to the table. It's being able to win without that guy and like being able to fight through injuries is ultimately, I think, who's the last man standing in the NBA usually.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously doing anything we can to help improve the roster, obviously on that side too, the big side, but I think that they're going to have to do it. And they're very, I mean, are they still the favorite to win the finals this year?
Yeah, I believe so.
So they're there already, but they do need that one piece to kind of push them over the edge and not have us be concerned about like, oh, we're there, but like, are we gonna be hurt bad from not having a big? I just think that it should be their number one priority at this point, right?
Yeah, 100%. They just need to be deeper. That's the bottom line. Yeah. Everyone's gonna get, people are gonna make jumps at the deadline. Like, we're in really good shape right now, but you can't expect the league to stay like this, and you can't expect your guys to stay healthy. And if you're one person away from being make or break, which it kind of feels like we are, you know, we're a beatable team without Porzingis right now. Then, you know, we got to figure that out.
Yeah. Have you figured out or decided which of the games you're going to while the Celtics are out there? Or are you going to, I know we keep talking about this on the pod here, but I assume you'll at least be going to the Clippers game.
I'm going to see. I don't know. No, I'm still on the fence. I'm still trying to figure out which one.
All right.
But, yeah. Still on the fence.
so the Clippers are a couple days before, and then the Lakers game is Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
Ooh, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's always like to have a game to watch on Christmas Day is going to be great, and I like that the NBA always does that.
None other than the greatest rivalry of all time.
Yeah, exactly. Even better. Speaking of Christmas, though, I'm going to sidetrack us here for a second.
Okay.
What? All right. Give me your top three. They don't have to be in a specific order, I guess, but top three Christmas movies. And then give me a movie that you consider a Christmas movie that people might not.
Christmas specific?
Yes.
So not holiday.
I suppose I'll allow holiday. Okay. We're in that season, so I'll allow it.
All right. Cause Eight Crazy Nights is in there for me.
Is top three?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Big time.
It's a classic.
And then probably I'm a Christmas Carol guy.
Okay.
I guess if I had to pick one, I'd probably do. I thought that that animated Jim Carrey one they did a few years back, like 10 years ago now, it's pretty good.
Interesting.
But you know. And then that are the Muppets for the Christmas Carol. You know, two different tones there, I guess.
Yeah.
And then probably Elf, dude.
Okay. That's not a bad choice. I mean, I know that's definitely a classic. Christmas top three Christmas movies for me, I think it has to be Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Home Alone.
Okay.
And then I think I gotta go with The Christmas Story.
It's great. Three great ones. Now, is the debate the Die Hard thing? Is that what this is going to get into?
Yeah, I want to know if you... So, first of all, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
It's a movie that happens at Christmas time.
That's not the
question. Am I a stickler enough that... But here's the thing. Am I a stickler enough that where I'm going to say to someone, hey, jackass. Yeah, I'm so mad I'm calling you jackass. That's not a Christmas movie. You don't like Christmas movies. No. But does that movie really have anything to do with Christmas other than that it happens during Christmas? Also, no. You know it. You just don't like Christmas movies. Die Hard is your favorite Christmas movie. You just don't like Christmas movies.
Or you just like to make people angry by saying that's your favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's the modern day Scrooge move.
Yeah, I saw. So I was having a debate about this same thing recently, and I recently rewatched for the 100,000th time Batman Returns, which takes place basically at Christmas time and all around that holiday season. And I was like, well, it's a Christmas movie. If it has a Christmas tree, if it has Christmas lights, if it has snow and it takes place during that time, then I'm going to consider that a Christmas movie, even though it's not really.
No, it's not. You shouldn't even adhere to that shit.
I don't know. We're getting close to that time, so I'm into the whatever Christmas movie is on. I'm probably leaving it on that channel just to watch whatever it is for at least for a little bit, or watch the whole thing depending on what the movie is. But there's so many great ones that it's really hard to like to pick. I could easily give 5 or 10 that are great.
I haven't dove in yet. I haven't watched any yet. So we'll see. Getting there. Gonna have to start up. It's getting late.
Yeah.
We're 12 days into the 25 of Christmas.
I know.
My gosh.
Exciting stuff. Holiday. I mean, this month seems to be flying by, and it'll be, I think we got one more episode right before Christmas and maybe two at this point. We'll have one dropping basically on Christmas. So.
What a gift for everyone.
What a gift to everyone.
My God. Look at us.
Merry Christmas to you all.
a couple of Salvation Armies over here.
Oh, no.
Can you not say that?
No, I just hate them.
Okay. Because you hate Salvation Army?
I just hate that they ring the bell nonstop. That they're just like,
is it the bell or is it the raising money for people who need it?
It's a little bit of both.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this was actually our last episode. So everyone tune in next week when it's Badger's World.
Badger chatter. Balcony badger
chatter. Balcony badger chatter. Balcony chatter. Badger. Yeah, well, December is usually when we kind of find out what we think about this team, these teams and where they're at. So I'm excited for that too.
Yeah.
A little identity December.
Yep. Looking forward to these couple of Bruins games on the road to see if they can get some wins and then come back home. And, you know, the Ranger game is going to be a revenge game this time around. We got smoked by them last time. We were not good. They were obviously the better team. So looking forward to hopefully being able to, you know, hang with them. They're on fire right now too, and they're a tough team to beat. But so are we when we're on our game. So I hope that we can kind of
tell you right now, they're not hanging with the Maple Leafs.
Oh no,
they're down 4-1 in the first intermission.
I want to say that I love that, but I don't love that because I hate Toronto. But also, the Rangers only have 3 shots in that game, so that's hilarious.
Yeah, pretty wild start over there. In Madison Square Garden, no less.
By the way, shout out to Islander fans. I never thought I would say that, but I'm going to say that because John Tavares scored his 1,000th point against them the other night at UBS Arena. So he was 2 points away, goes into Long Island. They still hate him. They're booing him, whatever. He goes in there, he gets his 2 points, his 1,000th career point, which is – so hilarious that he did it against the Islanders after all the booing and all of the stuff they did to him when he left. But I do want to shout them out for sticking to, you know, he got his 1,000th point and they still booed him. They didn't flip flop on it. They stuck to it. They booed him.
Hell yeah.
They're still not ready to accept the fact that he left for Toronto. And all the stuff that he said he was going to stay and blah, 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 blah. So shout out to them for sticking to their guns on that one.
Yeah, keep booing them.
Yeah.
Boo him forever.
Boo him forever. A little PJ boy.
Yeah. What did he do for you guys? Not win a title, I'll tell you that much.
True. He's not going to do that in Toronto either. Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Good riddance all around.
All right. Well, you guys know it's go Bees, it's go Cs, and we'll be back next week with another episode. Like I said, if you guys are on the road this week seeing the Bruins against New Jersey or the Islanders, hit us up. We'll be there, and we'll see you out there.